This is a further interview with Mrs. Rosemary Miller. The interview was conducted by Alwyn Coventry and Don Freeth on the 15th of September 1999. Rosemary, what can you recall about the RAC man who used to stand on the corner by the cattle market?
I can't remember him personally, but I do remember him being there. Because he used to go out with a maid we had at the time. And when I came back from school down Starbridge Road, the bus stopped just opposite. And he used to watch when I got off the bus, and he used to walk up to take me across the road to take me home so that he could have a word with the maid, you see. And he always did it, and he used to tie my shoes up and that sort of thing, you know. But he used to meet me off the bus and take me across the road.
Was he a local?
I honestly don't remember that.
You don't know his name?
I don't know his name, no, but he was the same man that was there for a long time. But I really don't know his name. But you see, you had the same bus conductors on the little single-decker buses, you see. And I remember a bus conductor who was on the bus, and I'd known him from when I was a baby, really. And then he got moved onto this route, and I just knew him, you know. He was a marvellous little man.
In the picture,
yeah,
there's a house there.
Yes.
What can you remember about that?
Well, that's Birch Cottage, and the father of Mr. Tate, who was at the farm, lived there. So that was Amphlius Tate lived there with his wife, and he was a grandfather. You know, he was a nice old chap, and he used to ride to hounds, and he had a horrible horse that used to try and get me on. It was about a 17-hand horse, which was kept down the farm. And it had wall eyes, you know. And he used to go tearing off, you know, down the fields when he was hunting with it. And he was always mad keen to get me on it, but I would never go on it. But he used to always take the children from the farm up to church every Sunday morning. And then we used to go as well, you see, so that they sat on one pew and we sat on another pew. And he always took the children to church every Sunday morning.
Was that house ever anything to do with the hall?
Not as far as I know, but I really don't know. But Amphlius always lived there from the time I was a child, and I never remember anybody before him. He had obviously retired from farming and went to live there while Felix took over the farm.
He's buried in the churchyard, isn't he?
We've yes, he is.
His name
he is.
Because it's an unusual name.
It's an unusual name. Yes, it is.
That's right. Right. Can I ask you what you can recall about the activities around the cattle market?
Oh, the cattle market. Yes. Well, that was very interesting. That was. Oh yes, lovely. Yes, well, the cattle market, you see, it was really quite busy on a Monday morning, it had it. And in those days, when they brought sheep or whatever, pigs, to the cattle market, they used to herd them down the road, you see. And our gates, of course, were always closed in those days. And the thing that we used to like to do was to go and open the gates so that they would come in if we get, you know, and get into the garden. Anyway, every Monday we used to go down to the cattle market. That was one of our walks, you see. And they had all sorts of things in cages, you know, little ducklings and geese and that sort of thing. And we used to save our pocket money up to buy the things, you know, because we always had hens anyway. And we had three geese, which we bought as, you know, little tiny ones. We took them home. And they were called Tom, Dick and Harry. And we had them for years. They used to wander around the garden, you know. But they, all the old farmers, used to then go over to Dick Shepherd's shop, which was next door, little shop. It was a dirty little shop, you know, gaslit. And all the farmers used to sit round a little stove there with their smoking pipes. You couldn't see across, you know, it was filthy, really. But it was really interesting to go in. And he had his little window with all the sweets in jars, you know. And we used to like to go and see and buy something from old Dick Shepherd, because he was stone deaf, you know, and he used to wear his glasses on the end of his nose, and he couldn't tell what you were saying, but he used to get along. And he used to sell lamp oil and all sorts of things like that. His hands were always filthy. And we were never supposed to have sweets that hadn't got paper on them, because Dick would put his dirty old hands into the jar and pull them out and wrap them in little sweet bags, you know. But he was quite a character, and he lived up here. And he was there, of course, when the shop was... a lorry came down Birmingham Road and went straight into it, you know. Oh, yes, that's it. That's the little shop. Yes, that's it. And old Dick, you know, he came out of the door with a rabbit in his hand, holding it up when the shop had been demolished. Now he was still there with his glasses still on the end of his nose. But outside the shop, it had sort of green shutters on the front of it on a Sunday when it was all shut, you see. And that's where we met as guides and brownies on our first Sunday of every month to march up to church with a scout band, you see. We met outside Dick Shepherd's shop, and then we marched up to church behind the scout band every the first Sunday of every month. Mm-hmm. But I was the littlest brownie in those days, and I had the job sort of catching up with everybody, but I used to manage it.
Was the cattle market a busy day?
Oh, it was a very busy day, very busy on a Monday, yes it was.
It was just for farm produce, was it? Not for, you know, sort of materials?
Well, yes, they had the pens, you know,
yes.
Pens and so forth. Yes, yes, it was really just for farm produce. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can you remember much about the schoolhouse?
No, I didn't get. I never went to the village school. Mm-hmm. No, yes, I remember that. That was the senior school, the infant school's up Bromsgrove Road.
That's right.
Well, this was a senior school. That's right. Well, that was quite interesting because the school playgrounds were sort of into the field. You know, you walked across the field, and the playground was just at the side. And the boys used to love it because they used to have swings on the trees and so forth. You know. But we did go to Sunday school there, and most of all the local children went there. It was a very good school, actually, extremely good. But they had their little garden patches, you know. They were all brought up to do their gardening and so forth, and it was very, very well run school. It was a nice little schoolhouse. I think.
Who ran the Sunday school there?
The rector did. Well, it was Bobby Burns when I was his little, Rector Burns, and he ran the Sunday school.
Right, a little bit farther along the road, we come to Bostins.
Yes, yes, that's right.
I remember Bostins.
Yes. I remember Bostins taking over, because before it was a Mr. Foster that had it, and... they hadn't got any fridges in those days, you see, and my mother didn't like that. So we then moved to a shop in Bell Broughton, which had a fridge. But then, of course, when Bostins took it over, they had fridges and things put under there, because they had their own slaughterhouse by the side of it. And so we always got our meat from Bostins. And it was really quite nice. And old Mr. Gwynne lived in a little cottage up there. And another little lady lived in one of the other cottages who cleaned the church every day. She cleaned it for many, many years. But it was nice.
Call her name?
Mrs. Davis. Mm. Yes. And she died about, I suppose 7 or 8 years ago. Mm. But it was quite a nice little community around there, really. But yes, I used to like to go to Bostins. And our dog that we had then used to go to Bostins as well. He used to take himself to Bostins to get his bone and then come home. Everybody knew him. But it was a nice shop, because everybody went to Bostins for their meat. Wonderful meat. And, you know, later on, it was always a queue. You know, you had a job to get into the shop to stand up and get your meat, you know. But when I was small, of course, the butcher boy used to have, they used to have a butcher boy with his basket, you see, and he used to deliver your meat for you. Mm-hmm. So that was, and just sort of further up, of course, there was the Hall Gardens. We got all our vegetables from there, where, you know, they got all the new little housing estate there now. Well, they had a lot of glass. And, you know, you go up there through the little green door. There was always green doors into these gardens. And you'd go round with the head gardener, and you'd go into the glass houses and pick your grapes and your nectarines or whatever, tomatoes and things, and then he would deliver it, you see. Or the boy, there was always a boy with a basket on his bike, and he would deliver it. But he had a nice little potting shed which you used to like, smelt wonderful, all earthy and musty, and you know, and used to have a little stool that we could go and sit on. And if he'd got any beans and things that he'd already picked, they were always on the shelf, and you could choose what you want, and then you'd go round the gardens with him, decide what you wanted, and then he would send the boy around with it. But that was where we always got our vegetables from there.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was lovely.
We can still do that.
Yeah. Yes.
If we come back opposite the cattle market, there was the court.
Yes, that's right, yes. Well, of course, that was a private house when I was a child. And Sir Hugh Chance lived there, and he got, I think, three girls or something. They were similar ages to us. And, of course, in those days, everybody shared nannies, you know. The ones that had got nannies, well, sort of got the rest of the kids, you know. But Sir Hugh Chance lived there. Was
he a glass manufacturer?
Sir Hugh. He might have been, I'm not quite sure.
He might well have been.
And then, of course, he moved to Tardybig, and then it was taken over as a nursing home by the Miss Muldoons. They were two Irish ladies. And it was funny, you know, if anything was wrong with you, I remember when my middle sister was ill at one time, my father carrying her down the road, and she went into the nursing home to be looked after by the Miss Muldoons when my mother was ill. But, they were very friendly with everybody, you see. And I decided at that time that I would like to go and be a maid. That was my ambition, you see. And I pinched the maid's stiff cuffs that she had, you know, our own maid, and her cap and her apron. And I went down to the nursing home and decided I was going to be a maid there, you see. And they used to sort of humour me and say, and let me do a bit of polishing. But they were great fun, the Miss Muldoons. They had a little Austin 7. Which they used to go to church and every Sunday morning, of course, being Catholics, you see. But they were there for
a long
time.
Where did they go to church then? Where was the nearest Catholic church?
The mission room in West Hagley was used as a little Catholic church sometimes. Yes. Or else they went into Stourbridge, you see.
Yeah.
But yes, they did. But it was quite nice because everybody knew them and they were friendly with everybody, you see. They would always sort of drop in, you know, sort of. Well, everybody dropped in for coffee or tea or something, you know, everybody did in those days.
Mm. Are you talking before the war or after
the war? Oh, before the war. Before the war, yes.
Well, did it become a hotel?
Oh, it became the court. It became the court hotel afterwards. Yes, it did. Now, it would be, I suppose it might have been at the beginning of the war or just after the war it became a hotel. Yes, it did. Yes. More of a sort of a club. In a way, you know, I don't know whether that people stayed there particularly, but it was people, I think they go for drinks and that sort of thing, you know. Mm. Yes, it was quite well known.
And did it become derelict or?
No, it didn't. I think it was bought by the ministry. Yes, it would be bought by some minister or other when they altered the roads, see.
Yeah.
And then they knocked
it
down. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it was still there in the 50s, I think, when I came here, wasn't it?
It probably was, yes, because they didn't start the road business, really, until the late 50s, did they, really? I mean, I suppose the island had gone, in a way, by then, and the fountain had been moved.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
I think so. Yes, I think that had, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you remember anything specific about the fountain?
Not really, except...
it was put there for a golden wedding or jubilee.
Yes, it was, but I'm just trying to remember whose it was.
Graysbrook's,
that's right. Yes.
It does say that on the monument, doesn't it, actually?
Yes.
We have got something on it.
Yes.
We've got something in that walk leaflet that Jean did.
I don't know whether it ever worked. It might not have worked very well. I don't know. These things never do. You know, because there's a little sort of drinking fountain up by the Hall Drive, you know.
Yes.
When you go down to the Bicken Hills. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that ever worked either.
Certainly doesn't now.
No. It was sort of in a little brick thing, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was under a beautiful tree. There was a lovely tree there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely gorgeous, especially in the autumn, a big tree, you know. Mm. And it looked lovely there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Is that the same building?
That's the court, yes, that's it, that's it. Yes, that's the one. That's it, exactly. And you could tell, you see, they had, down here was their little operating theatre, and they did most of the operations on Mondays, I think. And you could always tell, because that chimney there, it was always, you know, smoke coming out, so that's when they burnt the tonsils and things, you know. Yes, a lot of kids went and had their tonsils out there and so forth, and you could always tell, because they're smoke coming, and you knew that it had been tonsil day or something.
Well, who did the operations? The local doctor?
Oh, yes, we had a Dr. Gifford, an old Dr. Gifford, mm-hmm. who was lived near to the Corbett Hospital in Amblecote, and he used to go there, and I think Dr. Tweddle, who was another local doctor, yeah. And they used to go and do their operations mm-hmm. there, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Maybe just minor operations, of course.
Oh, well, I would think so, yes. Appendix and that sort of thing, yes. Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yes, that's nice. I remember that.
Now, Tate's Farm would be almost next to that.
Oh, yes, Tate's Farm, the drive was almost there, really. Mm. Yes, it was. Mm. Yes.
And the house, Tate's house?
It was on the roadway, sort of level with this, yes. Yes, it was. And sometimes, before the water was they've altered the course of the water coming down here. And when the lily pool overflowed, which it did sometimes in those days, and used to pour down Birmingham Road,
where was the
Hagley
lily
Hill, the lily pool mm-hmm. in the park used to pour down, oh. and straight through the farm, straight through the farm it used to go. Yes, and I remember that, because seeing the kids' shoes and everything floating away down to the farm.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Oh, yes, it was quite interesting, really. Because, of course, Hagley Hill was only narrow, you see. Mm-hmm. But I can remember it coming down like a torrent and so mm-hmm. forth, and straight through the farmhouse.
Right, we're moving along fast.
Yes, yes.
We're now up to what I've always thought is the old rectory.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right, in Park, yes, on the way up to the church.
Mm.
That was one of the old rectories. There are two before that.
Oh.
Yes, oh yes, that was nice. Well, when I was a child, the Hattons lived there, and they had 5 children, I suppose. So, you see, there weren't a lot of children up here in Topheck. And, of course, we used to play, you see, with them, you see. And I know they had a little sort of lean-to in the garden, which in the summer months we all slept in, you know, which was quite fun. But Lion Hatton was the rover leader, rover scout leader, you see. And his wife Joyce used to be both with the guides and the rangers. And of course that was quite convenient, because the headquarters were in the hall barn, you see, mm-hmm. the guides mm-hmm. and the rangers. But they lived there when I was a child. And then it became an old rectory. But before that, the lawns up Birmingham Road was the rectory when I was a child.
Yes.
The lawns on the left-hand side. Yeah. Because the original rectory had been the top of the hill.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Into the park, yes, more or less, yes. But after that, it wasn't a rectory when... It was the lawns that was the rectory when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Why did... You don't remember that being the rectory?
Oh, yes, that was the rectory. It didn't start to be the rectory till... Oh, I would think... I don't know whether it was the beginning of the war or just... Just only about that time.
Why did it change so often?
Well, I suppose the lawns was quite a big house, you see. Mm-hmm. And when Mr. Burns died, then of course Charles Hodgins, I think, was the next rector. Well, he was a bachelor. And I suppose, you know, it was that much further away from the church, you see. And I suppose there was that much more traffic and so forth, you know.
Mm.
So then that became the rectory, and he lived there with his housekeeper. And then after that, his brother, who was also a bachelor, he lived there with the same housekeeper. So it was more convenient, really.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Very cold house, though, it was. Very cold house.
Mm.
Mm.
Corner.
Oh yes, Bradley's, yes. Bradley's. Well, that was, one of these nice old-fashioned shops, but it did used to have a bakery at the side, because Mr. Bradley had been a baker. Well, of course, when he died, it wasn't a bakery anymore, just became the shop, and his daughter ran it, and his wife. But Bradley's was going for quite, I would think, till probably early 60s, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And then it became an antique shop for a little while. Yes. But there was a lovely old house. I suppose it would be a Queen Anne, maybe, on the opposite side. Lovely house. And I remember it wasn't occupied as such. It had gone a bit derelict, and there was a shoemender in one of the rooms downstairs and that sort of thing, but it was a lovely house. It was a pity it had to be knocked down, of course, and then the post office was next door to it, because I remember the post office was run by Frieda Payne and her mother, and they had lived in one of these cottages down here, you see. Mr. Payne was the plumber, and they had, I think, about 5 children. They all had TB, people did in those days, TB family. Well, eventually, Frieda, the second eldest girl, did rather well, and she took over and bought, she didn't buy it, it belonged to the hall, the cottage next door, and that became Hagley Post Office. Mm-hmm. I remember the day they moved, actually, into the post office, because there was a stile to some fields just down there, which you could go walk across, and you got into Park Road, you see. Yeah. And I remember sitting on the stile and watching it all happen. But it was rather nice just round here. And of course, the first school, of course, is now a bungalow, but that was the sort of the first school. Mm. I think it just had, it was just one room or two rooms maybe, with a stove in the middle of it, I remember. And the headmistress was a Miss Porter. I can remember Miss Porter vividly. She had always had a lot to say for herself, and she had rather a dark moustache, and when she talked she spat. I suppose it was her false teeth or something. But I remember this Miss Porter, and I think a lot of the younger people of my age group who went there would remember Miss Porter. She was very strict, and of course after the children went there, they went to the big school, you see, at Port Meadow. Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk about Bradley's, was that as long as you can remember? Was it always Bradley's?
Always Bradley's, yes. Well, now then, who would it be? Yes. The family, Bradley's are a whole old Hagley family. Mm. And some of the Bradley's lived along here. And of course, I think some of them had worked in the old quarry. You see,
yes.
So they were sort of a family of Bradleys. There'd always been Bradleys up the top here.
Where was the old quarry?
Oh, if you go up Monument Lane, mm-hmm. and just through the gate at the top, and the old quarry is on the right hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was a lovely place for blackberries. And that's where the sandstone was quarried, you see, for everything locally that was used. I suppose a lot of the church mm-hmm. sandstone was came from there. But it was quite funny, lots of rabbits in and things, it was a nice place to go and hide in,
mm.
but nice for blackberrying.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a favourite sort of walk,
mm-hmm. Mm. Now, if we come down Bromsgrove Road, we come to the Forge Garage.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, the Forge Garage. It was only small, of course, when I was a child, because I know I was allowed to walk around to there and get batteries for our radio. We had great big batteries that used to have to go to be charged up, and then I used to go and collect them, you see. And I think it was one of the old policemen, Mr. Jones, who ran it. And he was always sort of standing on the step outside. I don't know what they did there, whether they mended anything, I don't know. But I think it would be before the war, just at the beginning of the war. It was knocked down, and they built the big Forge Garage. It was built, quite large, because it was, but you could perhaps get tanks in there. Mm. That was the idea, you see. And then it was taken over. I think Mr. Henn managed it. He'd been captain of the cricket club. He lived in Kidderminster Road. He was their old family. They lived in the village, and he had it.
But they lived in the house next door to the garage, did they?
No. Mr. Moulder lived there, yes. And he had something to do with it, probably before Charlie Henn took it over.
And they knocked that house down, didn't they?
They knocked it down, yes. Yes.
Yes.
That toppled over recently, isn't it?
Yes, in my time.
Yes, in my time.
Yes. And can you remember what they did, the sort of things they did at the forge? Did anything come to mind?
Well, not a lot. Usually mending people's bicycles and things like that, I think. Because, of course, there was a blacksmith down... just past the Littleton, down the hill on the left-hand side, there was the blacksmiths by Gallows Brook.
Is there?
Oh, yes, there was blacksmiths there, yes. There was blacksmiths there in my childhood, certainly.
No signs of that now, though?
Oh, no, that's been gone a long time. But they were still working there when I was a child, yes.
There must have been a reason why it was called a forge, then, isn't there, at some
Forge
time?
Garage?
It was a forge, because I've got a photograph of it, but it's in another book.
Yes,
and
yes.
I couldn't bring it.
Yes.
Is that going further back, then?
I never remember it as a forge, so it must be in a long time ago.
Fred Tate did mention that they used to take some of their ironwork to be done there.
Oh, probably, yeah, probably, yes, yes, yes. Because latterly the only person who did ironwork and that sort of thing was over at Drayton, you see, the forge over there, the blacksmiths over there. Because when I worked at Stakenbridge for a while, I used to take the horses round to Drayton to have their shoes done, you know, the old cart horses and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a nice morning out, you know, a nice leisurely jaunt.
We mentioned Tate's Farm before.
Yes, yes.
What can you recall of Tate's Farm?
Well, it wasn't a very profitable farm and that sort of thing, you know. And it wasn't a particularly clean farm, but it was quite interesting, you know. Because we got an orchard at the bottom of our garden, you see, we had an orchard. And if you went through the hedge, you see, you were into the farmyard, and that was quite interesting. So I remember they had a lot of Galinis there, you know, these Galinis, and they make such a row.
Yeah.
Oh, they do. They're like little bantam hens, you know. They have beautiful little brown eggs, these Galinis, but they make such a noise. And, you know, of course, the farmyard was, as I say, more or less adjacent to us, except there was a paddock in between us originally. But after, I remember them building a bungalow there now. But that was a paddock with a big field gate, you see, when we first went to live there.
Can you remember the prisoners of war that used to work there?
Well, not a lot, because I wasn't at home.
Oh, no, of course.
You see, I remember there were prisoners of war, because quite a lot of local girls, you know, were quite friendly. But I wasn't at home in that time, you see. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been away and backwards and forwards all the time, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that some things I remember vividly. Mm-hmm. Mostly, you know, before I went away to school, I remember, of course, everything. And so I've been backwards and forwards rather a lot.
And the Spencers?
Yes.
What can you recall of the Spencers?
Not a lot. I think... There was a son there who wasn't very well. I think he worked for Singer Sewing Machines, and that was about all I can remember of it.
Was it a scruffy pub or a posh pub?
No, it's never been a posh. It never been a posh pub. It was just sort of an ordinary sort of country pub, you know. But I suppose it was reasonably new, you know, in the early 30s or late 20s when it would be built. But I don't remember. It was quiet. I don't remember anybody bothering very much. I think probably the farmers used to go.
Was it busy cattle market day?
I would think it probably was, but I don't really know. All I can remember is Dick Shepherd's being the favourite haunt, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you can't really imagine some of the old farmers that when they're going into the Spencers, they would rather, you know, go into Dick's dirty little shop.
Yeah.
But I suppose it would have been busy, yes, yes.
Do you recall the pub on the left-hand side going up Birmingham Road? There was a pub in one of the cottages there now we used
to. Oh, yes, but it wasn't a pub in my day. So that must have gone, and I can remember sort of late 20s, you see, but it never was a pub when I was a child. No, yes, it was the corner of Monument Lane, just there. Mm. Yes, no, it was never a pub when I can remember.
No. Sticking on the pub theme, what can you think of about the feathers?
The feathers?
What I call the feathers, just along the road.
The prince. Well, it had a very nice bowling green, lovely bowling green at the back. It really was a well-known bowling green, and it was the same as the Foley Arms. The pubs were similar to look at, and the old Foley Arms, and they had a bowling green, you see, and they used to play matches against each other. And
is that the Foley Arms in Pedmore?
Yes, but it looked exactly like this pub, Prince of Wales, on the side of the road, with its nice bowling green behind it. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember a lot about it, really. I remember that there was a family who lived in, it was sort of a little house on the end of the pub, you know, it's all into the pub now. But I remember them because she was in the Brownies with me. That's it, looked like that. Well, the end bit was a little cottage, and there was a family there, the Croydons, I remember them living there. But I don't remember much about the pub or anything when I was a child. And I remember a family called Shepherds lived in one of these little cottages. And you'll find that the Shepherds, now that was the old chap who lived, who had the shop, you see. He lived in one of these cottages, mm-hmm. and with his son and various families. And of course, this cottage, the front room, was the paper shop.
This cottage?
Yes, this cottage, the front room, was the old paper shop run by Mrs. Bryan, who had been a parlour maid at Rockingham Hall years ago. And when she was widowed and so forth, she lived in this cottage, which was just one up and one down sort of thing. And she had the paper round, and she used to deliver the papers in one of those tall bread baskets, you know. Mm-hmm. And she used to push this round with the papers, you know, and then chuck them out.
Mm. You say this was one up and one down?
Yes.
Or more or less the original cottage?
Yes, two up and two down. Yes.
Oh, yes. I wondered if you meant this part had been
added. Oh, no, this part I only put on 20 years ago, maybe.
You mean just here?
Yes, this is all new, yes. And the back's all new.
But that was the original part?
The original part stopped here.
Yes.
As there were two rooms.
So it must have been two.
And the front room was the paper shop.
Yes.
Yes. Mrs. Brown's paper shop. Mm. And she was a cantankerous old lady. And she had a cantankerous old dog called Bobby, who used to bark at you ferociously. And it was a gasless little shop, you know. But we used to like to come in because she had strings of these coloured beads and all sorts of things, you know, which children like. But you could never see what you were doing. And she lived in this room, I suppose, which was her back room, you know. And sometimes I'd be sent down to pay the papers, you know. Mm-hmm. And I used to like to go in, but she was a bit frightening, really. Oh, yes, John's old studio, yes, yes. Well, that really was a little shop called Thorley's. Not this bit, but just the original bit. And they were two old ladies, and they ran a little, you could get anything there, you know, little halfpenny bars of chocolate and things like that, you know. And the wools and all sorts, they sold everything, you know. And at the back, there was a stable, because there, I suppose it would be one of their in-laws who lived in the cottage next door. It looked a similar one to that one, you see, before it was altered. And there was a space left this side for another one to be built, you see. But the chap was killed in the First World War, so it was never built, you see. There should have been three cottages there. But the Miss Thorleys lived there to the late 1950s or the middle 50s when my husband bought it and put on this, you know, knocked down the old stable and put on this and used it as his photographic studio. And another lady bought the other one and knocked it about, you know, was going to sort of live in there. And she had her nephew or something who was supposed to be an architect, and he made a complete mess of it, spent all her money, and she could never live there. So John had it till, I suppose, early 1970s, when, you know, he decided his health had broken down a bit, so he retired. But it never looked like that in my, those weeds there, my goodness, there was never a weed, there was never anything when we had it.
No, I can remember that.
Can you?
Right, we go down the road a little bit.
Yes.
That is now the...
Oh, that's Shandus Lodge, yes, yes. Yes, it's now a nursing home, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Shandus Lodge, yes, it was a nice house, that was. I remember the Cowdles lived there when I was a child. The Cowdles, they were a Clent family. And, yes, it, of course, privately owned, of course. It was a very nice house. And then, of course, it became a nursing home. Not all that long ago, really. A very nice house. Had a nice ballroom in those days. Houses did, of course. Little ballrooms, you see. Oh, yes. Now, there was another cottage on the end of that, which was knocked down. It was derelict. Yes, those two old cottages. Yes, I remember Mrs. Ward lived in one of them. And Mrs. Ward had about three children, I think, you know. And she used to do for people, you know. But it was a bit derelict, you know. I used to go and visit her sometimes. But she was quite a character. And her family lived in one of the cottages at Monument Lane. I think her husband's family lived up there, you know. But they were quite nicely kept, you see, in those days. But so the other cottage was knocked down because to make way for a car park for the prince. But it was, you know, they were quite nicely kept. Don't know why they don't knock them down. They're really, you know, they're in a bit of a state, aren't they?
Yeah. Of course, they had a reprieve, didn't they?
They did. Yes, they did.
The road not coming.
That's right. Yes, yeah. They did. Yes.
So, to sum up everything about Upper Hagley, what sort of a place was it to live?
Oh, it was a lovely place to live before the war. It really was. Because there weren't many houses, and everybody knew everybody. And it was really quite genteel in a way, I suppose you'd say, you know. But it was a very nice place to live, because it was pretty, you see. Where the island was, you know, where the AA man stood, it was Hagley House on the other corner, you see. And they had, a big wall all around it, the most lovely trees. And the head gardener used to live in one of these cottages. And he used to walk down the road every morning. I used to see him when I was sort of waiting for the bus to go to school with his green baize apron on, you know. Mr. Young, he was head gardener. And he'd walk down and go through the green door in the wall, you see, into the gardens. And, of course, we used to know the Hattons very well. And we'd go, you know, for croquet parties and that sort of thing, you know. And those were the days when my mother, anyway, her age group, always had the long dresses, you see, and the big hats on for afternoon tea, you know, and croquet on the lawn. It was very nice, really. And they had quite a lot of grandchildren, you see, and we were all sort of friendly. And it was very nice, but it was a lovely old house. And it was such a shame, you know, and it was sold for about £3,000. Lovely old house, a lovely garden. And, of course, the garage and the rest of the garden was up Birmingham Road, you see. And it really was very pretty. And then, of course, there was the court this side. And my home, I suppose, was one of the first new houses built in Top Hagley, you see. And my father built that. But it was really very nice. And then there was only sort of Rockingham Hall up Birmingham Road. There weren't any of the new houses. And, of course, Birch Cottage on the other side, which you showed me where Amphlius lived. And the gardens to the other house came, it was a cherry orchard, came down to where Amphlius lived. And that house is on the corner of the little lane going round to Boston's. And, you know, that was a very nice house. And, of course, there weren't any other houses in the fields, you see. That was all fields where the new sort of estate is now. So it was, that was really all there was. And the few bits up Bromsgrove Road. I remember them building the police houses there. Police houses originally, the police house was where the post office is now. One of those houses, that was the police house. Yes, and where the hairdressers is.
Yes.
That was it, yes. And Mr. Pound, the policeman, lived there. And he was a proper Mr. Plot, you know, he'd got a... he was quite a big man with a big corporation. He did used to wear a leather belt round his uniform, you see, and one of the pointed police hats. And he and his daughter and wife lived there. But he never smiled, Mr. Pound didn't. But when he was around, you know, you knew he made the village boys behave. He'd take his leather belt off to them, you see. Oh, he did. And I remember he came around to us once for some reason or other, and my father perhaps just killed a hen or something, you know, because we did that. And I suppose there was perhaps a spot of blood on the back or something. And he was looking at this, you know. My father said, "There, I've just killed a hen." But he never smiled. I never remember him smiling at all. But he had the village boys absolutely under his thumb. They didn't dare behave when Mr. Pound was around. And I see his daughter now occasionally. She's in her 70s, obviously, and she's married with a family of her own, you know. But she said, "Oh, yes, I remember you." Oh, dear.